Hello. I think we think that there's something in the air with Voyager because we're another Voyager library catalogue. As Martha had indicated with her talk, there is going to be a paper that we've written which, in our case, tends to deal with rather more of the theoretical side of what we're talking about today. And what we're going to show you are lots and lots of examples of things that we've done which we think you might find interesting. And as you can probably gather from my background with as being the Australian Enhancement Coordinator for Dynex and being on a global data change task force with Endeavour, which is possibly defunct, but we're not really sure yet, I'm really interested, and we all have been interested in the University of Adelaide, in pushing systems to the furthest that we possibly can, getting the most out of our systems. And what you'll see today will be some examples of that. The well-connected catalogue. Well, in an age where our users expect to be able to point and click, links to other works by the same author, the same subject, same series, are standard features expected in a web catalogue. However, we can extend this linkability well beyond to lead our users to other works of interest that might help them if we think creatively about all the information that a good catalogue record can supply. A well-connected catalogue is one that makes obvious the relationship between one item described in the catalogue and another item. It enables the user easily to link to the other related item that has the specific relationship to the first. It enables the user to link to other useful resources that are relevant to the item catalogued. The cataloguer who has researched and understood the item in hand can identify additional relevant material that the user may well make use of. In essence, it enables the cataloguer's art to provide a rich fabric for the user to explore. However, the sophisticated connections that the cataloguer identifies risk being unexplored unless an easy point-and-click opportunity is provided. Some added services to library catalogues under consideration today, and I'm sure you've seen many of these examples, links to book cover art, links to book reviews, links to online bookshops. Facility for to enable users to annotate titles in the catalogue, and helps like Did You Mean or other books like this. And I do note Martha's concern about the Did You Mean, but in the context I'm talking about it, it's probably not quite as a risk. But these sorts of links can be generated by the system at the macro level by mining basic catalogue data, if we have the system's capability to do so. They can be scripted or provided by services of companies such as Syndetic Solutions. Some ILMS vendors have started offering the facility for users to annotate titles in the catalogue. I think Innovative are doing this. Open source programs allow many of these features if you have the system staff to support such a venture of creating the sort of interface that Martha discussed. They're all good, but there are many links within the core information in every library catalogue that could take the user easily down paths that could interest them. Links that are not common and are specific to particular titles. Consider the links provided. Oh, we're ahead of ourselves, I think. No, behind ourselves. There we go. Do we know where we're going? We've lost where we're going. One more. Wonderful. Thank you. That's the trouble with different laptops. Consider the links provided through catalogue records. A user searches by keyword and then has the opportunity to click on links through to other works by the same author, same subject, or same series. And these are the standard features in the web catalogue. Probably these links should be a button that says, more like this, for the next generation users. But good authority control means that all of the works by that author or in that series will be retrieved in a single click. There are also specific relationship headings and notes that are included in the best catalogue records. This is the rich information about relationships between works. FRBR is trying to address some of these, but there are other related works that a cataloguer can identify which will help the user make the best use of the first resource found. If these relationships are provided by succinctly labelled links, the user might just be able to make use of them instead of glossing over them. To find them in Google, it would be a needle in a haystack type job. The links that we've actually used in the University of Adelaide Library Catalogue have been based on two main types of technology. First, the biblinking technology that Voyager provided for us, and this links between different but related bibliographic record. And the second is links to external resources, making use of all of the extra URI links that Mark now supports and Voyager now allows us to do. Biblinking was provided by Endeavour, the first object that we're going to discuss, to address the contract issue that we presented of linking our many analytical records for monographs in series and the like to the parent serial record. In the card catalogue, this link is just not necessary. In an online catalogue, the item status is expected at whatever catalogue records you come to when you're looking for an item. So, and this particular status, unfortunately, with many systems with their architecture, can only be in one place. So it needs to be linked to both the analytical child and the serial parent. The second types of links, as I mentioned, were developed as part of MARC and are quite a lot simpler. But the bibliographic linking, I'm going to provide you with an overview of this, of why linking and how does it work, and then I will get on to the MARC URIs. Why biblinking? It offers the user the ability to get easily from one bibliographic record to another record that they might need through specifically created links. In our case, in the first instance, it was from the analytical child record to the parent. It connects the user from the information they need about the status of the item or other information. In our case, the loan status is shown on the item record, and this can only be seen from the parent. And it allows intellectual value adding by catalogers. It enables as many analysed parts as is thought helpful within the cost that you are able to use, where other information about the contents, such as series, is not easily obtained. We provide analytics most primarily where the user might mistake the item as a book, if it were as part of the serial, or the particular series is very poorly indexed in a lot of the online databases. The types of biblinking used. We've experimented with many different types of links following the success and ease of the analytic links. By the way, I don't know whether I mentioned, but Voyager actually, Endeavour, massaged nearly 300,000 records of ours to provide the linking that we've got for bibliographic analytic links in our catalogue. It was really quite a huge undertaking. The analytic linking has turned out to be very successful, despite the fact it didn't do what we initially asked it to do. The next types of linking that we've used successfully is the earlier and later title links between journal titles. And then we've gone on to link between formats, electronic and print, and link to titles in electronic data sets. Well, how does it work? The linking that we've used actually requires us to define linking relationships. And these linking relationships are based on MARC tags. So, for example, with the analytics, we've used the 090 or the 091, both local call numbers, to a 909, the local call number on the parent record, and vice versa from parent to child. For the succeeding and preceding journal titles, we've used the links in the 022, the ISSN, with the 780X or the 785X. And where those haven't worked for various reasons, we've used the 780W and added an 035 to provide the link. So basically, you have to have one of these tags on one record and the other on the other, and then the link works. Once we got started with linking relationships, we added more. Some of them are better and some of them are worse. Some of them we use and some of them we don't. But we had to experiment. We actually co-opted or misused some MARC tags, and that's a terrible thing to admit, but we did. But we tried not to. And wherever possible, we've used standard tags and standard data. I'm going to go into detail with our first example, the analytic linking, and then I'll skip through quickly some of the other examples we've used and show you how effective they are. With the analytic linking, obviously, because it's based on MARC tags, we needed a standard structure. Faced with linking more than 200,000 analytic records, we needed a reliable match. Series statements, which you would find on the analytics, were really often varied or missing, so they weren't as helpful when you're doing a major data massage. The call number stem was the best because it had, because these things were all shelved together on as a journal in one place, they all had the same stem in the call number. So we used the call number stem to provide the parent call number, and then we used the subfield A of the local call number tag on the child, the analytic child, to make the match. This enables the user to move easily from the analytic to the parent and see the loan status effortlessly. This is a monograph published in a series that requires an analytic entry, remote sensing in northern hydrology. It's typical of the title kept by us in a series. This particular one, despite the fact it's well indexed, we do keep making the analytics for these titles in this series because otherwise users don't realize we have these as books. So we carry on making these records. But when you have a look at the bib record on the next screen, you can see the record is just a normal full catalog record to which we've added the local call number in the 090 subfield A and the volume in subfield B. It's okay, we've gone backwards. Okay. This analytic record is linked to the parent. As you look further down, it says this is part of a series. Click link to view the loan status. I don't know how much of this you can read, whether it's clear to all of you. Actually, if you click that link, it takes you through to geophysical monographs. Okay, next slide. And there you can see, you have to remember which volume you're looking for. Volume 163 is actually still in process. From here, the geophysical monographs, which is the parent record, you can actually see all of the volumes that are listed in this particular series. You see that it says titles in this series. Click the title for this series. And this takes you back the other way, from the parent to the analytics. But it actually takes you as a list of titles, of all of the titles which are in that series. There's no mistake between these and other titles with a similar series name. This provides a complete list of all of the volumes and only the volumes that we hold in this series that are shelved together. So the user is browsing the shelf online. Now behind the scenes, we're showing you into the Voyager cataloging client here. Endeavour has actually helped the cataloger move between these various links by providing under related records at the top there. We can't get the mouse working to show you. At the top there you can see there is an ISSN succeeding. Perhaps we can point. Yes, you can see at the top of the record all the different links. There's ISSN succeeding, ISSN preceding, issued in other form. And it's got the 909 type link, the analytic link. Behind the scenes, the cataloger is helped to move across the linking relationships by the use of this drop-down menu link. And there are several, they can have several types of relationships or link on any one record. So it's really quite helpful. In addition to providing this sort of linking, Endeavour helped us by creating what they call derived templates to enable us to make sure that the information between the critical link fields is standard and is exactly the same, and the system can pick it up as a match. With this particular derived template, you'll see on the left-hand side in the normal place the mark tags where the data is going to go to. In the middle, between the angle brackets, is the tag from which the data is going to be extracted. What you do is you set up a derived template that tells you that you move the information from the 909 on the parent, for example, into the 090 local call number field on the child. You move the information from the 245 in the parent to the 440, the series, in the child. So this is actually allowing you to move information from the parent record into the child record as you're doing your cataloging. You do it by having the parent record open, and then invoke this derived template, and the information is sucked out of one record and placed into the next. And it means that you've got consistency and accuracy in your matching. It works very well. Now, behind the scenes, using this template, we've just opened a record under geophysical monographs, and the derived template has completed the stem of the call number, 551.06A5, and left us the V subfield to put the volume in. It's left us the space to put the 100 and or the 110 and the 245 tag. It's put in the basic information about the imprint, and it has put in the series and any other standard information that we think is normally typical for this particular type of information. We tend to use this not for the monographs in series because there's usually good cataloguing copy that exists for these, but we do tend to use it for a lot of the grey literature, the technical reports and working paper series, where you only want to make minimal type bibliographic records to provide access and you don't want to have a lot of detailed subject analysis. Compare this with what you have to do if you wanted to clone another record in the same series. If you wanted to clone another of the geophysical monographs records, analytic records, you'd have to remove or change everything that's highlighted in yellow. There is an awful lot of tags that you'd have to change in order to make sure that you get the accuracy for the next item in this particular series. And if you're asking technical staff to do this, then you're running quite a lot of risks. So it's really better for these small grey literature series to actually use a derived template than to clone a record. The next example I'm going to show you is our earlier and later journal titles. This actually is a standard feature in Voyager. And as I said, it links the ISSNs with the 780s or 785s. And when we actually invoked this particular feature, it met with great acclaim because we put this into the system and all of the records that already had the 780s and 785 Xs and Ws and the 022s on the other records, all the links automatically popped up right across the system. Wonderful. Except that there were a few hiccups. There were occasions where that tag hadn't been provided by a cataloger, or the publisher had used the same ISSN for changes of titles, or, and that would create a circular argument. And where this happened, we asked our staff, our user services staff, to report them every time, and we would go in and we would rescue the record by getting rid of the, well, not getting rid of the X, but providing a W subfield and adding the 035 for the local system number on the other title. And we've actually got quite a clean set. I'm not saying that you won't find infelicities in our catalogue. I think everybody finds infelicities in every catalogue, but it works really well. What I'm going to show you now, a couple of examples. This is a journal with links to earlier and later titles. The link to earlier titles, and we've used these notes, and we put the words in there because we do have labelled records and we feel that we have to use the labels wisely. We say, link to earlier title, and then provide the item to link to. Link to later, title, and S in brackets. And in this case, it's picked up both the print version and the electronic version of the later title because the electronic version actually uses the print ISSN as well as an electronic ISSN. So the user gets a double benefit from this. And they can click on any of these links and go to those earlier or later titles effortlessly. Okay. Now, the next record is showing an earlier and later title where our library only has the later title. Because we only have the later title appears as a link, but the earlier title appears just as a note. With this type of linking, you have to have both parts for the link to pop up. If you don't, you just get the note, which is just the normal sort of cataloguing note. So it's really nice. We don't mislead our users into thinking we have the earlier title when we don't. We just tell them it exists. Okay, the next example I'm going to show you is print journal to electronic. We didn't think that showing the format of allowing users to switch between format of records would be helpful. But in fact, this has been well received. The reason why we didn't think it was helpful is because very often the print and the electronic title are exactly the same. But in fact, we found that users will go to the print journal if they want specific illustrations or some detailed diagrams, things like that. And if they find that that volume is out on loan or at the binders or something stupid or we never got that volume, then they can click easily through to the electronic and it's better than nothing at all. We also tried the reverse, the electronic journal link into the print. And you can see the links there. It's also available as. This doesn't look quite as convincing, and the reason why it's not as convincing is because we don't have a GMD that says print. If RDA gives us a GMD that says print, then this would be really nice. And we do think that print journals are probably the endangered species these days rather than the electronic, so it's probably useful to tell people that you're actually dealing with a print journal, not an electronic. The next example we've got is records for electronic data sets. And again, we didn't think this relationship was useful, but we actually started creating a link from the parent electronic aggregator service, in this case Factiva, to all the titles that are listed in that particular service. We get Serial Solutions to send us MARC records for all of these titles, and we have corrupted a MARC tag and get them to put the series provider name in an 027 tag. And then we put an 035 on the parent record, and voila, we link them all up. And if you look at the next page, you can see 5,561 Factiva titles displayed alphabetically and linked. And in fact, this is quite useful because academics, when they're going in to see whether it's worthwhile searching these aggregator services, they want to see that their journals are actually in that service before they go. And finding the lists in the aggregator service is sometimes very difficult to do. Okay. That's all I'm going to show you for biblinking, and very quickly I'm going to skip through hot links. It's commonplace to find web links enabled to remote resources in most catalog where libraries currently purchase those items. It's usually in the 856 tag, and it's been with us for quite a few years now. But where the bib record describes the electronic item that is not the main item, this is used where the bib record describes electronic item. But MARC supports the provision of URIs in a variety of fields, including notes, which has enabled us to link the full text of many other related digital resources or documents to the bibliographic record in meaningful ways. Some examples that are of tags that allow URI are listed below. These are from MARC, and they're the standard tags which are allowed to be used. We've used but a few of these, but we intend to explore many more. Some of the